The Sabbath Again, number 73 in the Exodus series. This is an exposition of Exodus chapter 31, verses 12 through 18. This message by Pastor Rod Harris was delivered at Trinity Baptist Church on Sunday morning, November the 3rd, 2019.
Let's pray together. Father, thank you for, again, this privilege of worship, and the opportunity to sing your praise, and the opportunity to gather around your word. Father, I pray that as you speak, we'll hear. I pray that we allow the truth of your word to shape us, to mold us, to make us the people that you desire us to be, that we would believe your word, profess your word, and live out the truth of your word. Father, our prayer is that you would be our teacher now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. It's a good question, a necessary question, the kind of question that comes up from time to time, the type of question that you and I, as Christians, as Bible-believing folk, ought to deal with. The question is, what's the relationship between the Old and the New Testament? To come at it another way, we might ask, are we, the church, bound by the Old Testament law? What's the relationship between Israel and the church? Contrary to the opinion of some, that question is not as cut and dried, as black and white, as some people want it to believe, to want it to be. There are hard questions, and there are some gray areas. But I'll make it real clear, we are not New Testament believers in the sense that the Old Testament has nothing to say to us. We are a Bible people, and we have both an Old and a New Testament. Both are the Word of God. And further, they're not two different books. It's one book. It's not like my grandmother used to say, I think that's in the Old Bible. And she would refer to the Old Bible and the New Bible. No, it's an Old Testament and a New Testament. One book, one story about one people, the people of God. So the whole of the Scripture applies to us as the people of God. But in what way? What's binding and what's not binding? It's not a simple question. But we do need to understand that there's not two ways of salvation. It's not a matter that the Old Testament saints were saved in one way and New Testament folks are saved in another way. Salvation has always been by grace, through faith, because of Christ. There's not one system in the Old Testament for the Jew, but there's a new system now for us in the New Testament. It's one way of salvation about one people. Further, I don't believe that it's biblical to say that we, the church, replace Israel. When we read the Scripture, we find out that we as New Testament believers, as those who trusted in Christ, have been grafted into the old tree. He didn't plant a second tree. So there's not two different trees growing here, one tree. Also, he didn't dig up the old tree and throw it away. There's one way of salvation for all the people of God, and that has always been by grace through faith because of Christ. And God gave His law to His people. And when God gave His law, there were three kinds of law included in that. There was the moral law, there was civil law, and there was ceremonial law. The moral law is that which is based in the character and the nature of God. It's eternal, it's binding on all peoples in all places at all times. There was civil law, which was given for the governing of the nation of Israel as a theocracy. This is what governed their national life. Then there was ceremonial law, which governed their religious practices. These were the rituals and the rites that they would perform, the ways of worship and so forth. And those were shadows of Christ. The civil law no longer applies because it applied to Israel only under a theocracy from the time of Moses down to the time of Christ. ceremonial law is done away with because Christ fulfilled all of that. Those were shadows. Those were pictures of Christ. But the moral law remains. And the moral law is still binding even on us as New Testament believers, as those who trust Christ and are grafted into Israel. Now, it seems that if we're going to think about the law in that way, if there is moral and civil and ceremonial, then that should be pretty easy to figure out, to go back in and decide, okay, that's moral and that's civil and that's ceremonial, but it's not always that easy because they sometimes overlap. And so it may be a moral law, but it has civil aspects included in it and some ceremonial aspects. That's the case with what we're going to deal with this morning in our text. Our text is found in Exodus chapter 31. We're going to look at verse 12 down through verse 18. We're going to deal with the question of Sabbath. Keep in mind, Moses is still up on the mountain with God. 40 days and 40 nights, Moses was away from the people as God is instructing him. God is giving him insight into the building of the tabernacle and the furnishings of that tabernacle and the pattern of the tabernacle and the clothing that the priest would wear and how the priest should be consecrated and set apart, how they're to be ordained. He's been hit with a lot. For Moses, it had to be like drinking from a fire hose. I mean, there was just so much coming at him so quickly, trying to absorb it all, trying to understand it all and put it in an order where he could then pass it on to others. It would have been difficult. But keep in mind, God says, I want you to build a sanctuary that I may dwell in the midst of my people. It's significant that just after he says, I have set apart some people to help you with this project, I have called by name Bezalel, and I've gifted him with my spirit in all manner of craft, and tells him all of that, and then he says, Oholiab is going to help, and all men who are able, he is gifting. So all of them together are to build this sanctuary. They're to build this tabernacle for God to dwell in. That's really important. Now, as he's done all of that and he's talked about how necessary this is, how important it is, he reinstates the Sabbath. He goes back to talk about how important the Sabbath is. He's already dealt with it. He's already mentioned it before. Now he comes back to mention it again. He's saying to them, this is important work. And you guys need to work, but don't work on the Sabbath. It's an important principle for us. Keep that in mind as we look together, beginning in verse 12 of Exodus chapter 31. And the Lord said to Moses, you're to speak to the people of Israel and say, above all, you shall keep my Sabbaths. For this is a sign between me and you throughout all your generations, that you may know that I, the Lord, sanctify you. You shall keep the Sabbath because it is holy for you. Everyone who profanes it shall be put to death. Whoever does any work on it, that soul shall be cut off from among his people. 6 days work shall be done, but on the seventh day is a Sabbath holy unto the Lord. Whoever does any work on the Sabbath day shall be put to death. Therefore, the people of Israel shall keep the Sabbath, observing the Sabbath throughout their generations as a covenant forever. It is a sign forever between me and the people of Israel that in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, and on the seventh day he rested and was refreshed. Now, there's an important principle for us. How does the old relate to the new? How much of the old is binding on us as Christians? It's an important question. As we work through this text, we're going to discover that while we are not Israel, and thus the ceremonial and civil aspects of the law do not apply to us, the Sabbath does matter, and you had better give it some serious thought. The Sabbath really does matter. Some things have changed. the ceremonial aspects and the civil aspects are no longer binding on us, but it does matter. In other words, we don't put them to death because they didn't do the right thing on the Sabbath. That was part of the ceremonial. That was part of the civil law. But the Sabbath still matters. Most of us here are old enough to remember when there were things you couldn't do on Sunday. There were blue laws. There were things not allowed. And all of that's fading. All of that's going away. Doesn't matter so much anymore. And in the church, there's an attitude, doesn't really matter anymore. I have friends that are retired pastors. They're no longer pastoring. They used to pastor, they don't anymore. And they go to the church because the church meets on Saturday night. That way, they can have Sunday to do whatever they want. It's an attitude. It's a spirit that permeates even the church. What's to be our attitude toward Sabbath? What's to be our attitude? New Testament, they changed the day from the seventh to the first day. It changed from the Sabbath day, the seventh, to the first day of the week because that's the Lord's day when the Lord was raised from the dead. And so sometimes it's referred to in writing as the Christian Sabbath. But does the principle Sabbath apply to us? I'm going to make a couple of observations, and then I want to give you some reasons why you should rethink your understanding of the Sabbath. First of all, underscore it, the Sabbath matters. It's there in the first couple of verses. You shall speak to the people of Israel and say, above all, you shall keep my Sabbath. For this is a sign between me and you throughout your generations, that you may know that I, the Lord, sanctify you. You shall keep the Sabbath because it is holy to you. Go down to verse 15. 6 days' work shall be done, but the seventh day is a Sabbath, a solemn rest, holy to the Lord. Therefore the people of Israel, verse 16, shall keep the Sabbath, observing the Sabbath throughout their generations as a covenant forever. It is a sign forever between me and the people of Israel that in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, and on the seventh day he rested and was refreshed. What's really clear in Exodus as we've been working our way through it, is that the Sabbath mattered to God. At least 5 times in Exodus, he comes to address the question of Sabbath. Now, I want to suggest to you that anytime the Lord says something, it's important. How many times does the Lord need to say before we take notice? Only once, okay? But if the Lord says something 5 times, that means we really need to pay attention. It really is significant to him. It really does matter. The first time the Sabbath is referred to is back in chapter 16. That's when he provided manna for the people. You remember that experience? And he said, I'm going to provide food for you. And in the morning, you'll find this manna. And by the way, manna means what is it? Because when people looked at it, that's what they said. What is it? The Lord said, I'm going to provide for you. And every morning when you see that, go out and gather enough for you for that day. Don't try to hoard it. Don't try to gather up enough for the week or enough for a couple of days. Because whatever isn't eaten on the day you gather it, it will be spoiled by morning. So every day you go out and get enough for that day. Enough for you to eat for that day. Now, on the sixth day, gather enough for 2 days because there's not going to be any on the seventh day. That's a Sabbath. That's where the principle laid down and taught back in chapter 16. Then it's addressed in chapter 20. That's when God thundered those 10 words from the mountain. And the fourth of those 10 words was, remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. And in that passage, he ties the Sabbath to creation, the pattern established by creation. He does the same here. Then in chapter 23, again, he addresses the issue of the Sabbath day along with the Sabbath year, that there was to be every 7 years a resting of the land and so forth. Then he deals with it again here in our text. He's going to deal with it again in chapter 35, the first 3 verses. 5 times he references the question of the Sabbath. But it's not just redundancy. He's not just repeating. Every time he talks about it, there's another aspect added. There's another layer given to us, another perspective for us to understand. There are two things added in this restatement of the Sabbath. One is its purpose. A new purpose is stated. It is a sign. The Sabbath is given as a sign between me and you. What's this a sign of? That you may understand that I, the Lord, am the one who sanctifies you. In other words, the Sabbath is a regular reminder to the people of God that they are the product of the work of God. It's to be a weekly reminder to the people of God that they owe their freedom, they owe their life, they owe their existence to God. A second thing that's added is a punishment. Anyone who profanes it dies. And note how significant this is to the Lord, because the Lord begins this section by saying, "Say to the people, above all, you shall keep my Sabbath." He's saying this is very important. I've given you the tabernacle so that I may dwell in the midst of my people. I've given you all this symbolism. I've given you all these things, and they really do matter, and they really are important. But above all that, don't you dare forget the Sabbath. Why? Because it's a sign. Because it's a reminder. The Sabbath really does matter. That, above all, is a restrictive adverb. Yes, you're to work, but not on the Sabbath. Furthermore, it is an emphatic statement. He is saying, you will do this. Again, note the purpose. Why is the Sabbath such a big deal? Because it is a sign of the covenant. A sign like the rainbow. A sign like circumcision. It is a reminder. It is something of significance that the people need to regularly recognize. It marks them. It sets them apart uniquely as the people of God, reminding them again that they are the product of His work, that they are the product of His hand. I, myself, the Lord, I am the one who sanctifies you. I, the Lord, am the one who saves you. I, the Lord, am the one who makes you my own. That's what the word sanctify means. To sanctify or to make holy means to set apart. To set apart for a specific purpose. To set apart for a specific task. When we say the utensils in the tabernacle are holy or they are sanctified, we're saying they're to be used for a specific purpose. It doesn't mean the material itself is holy. It means its purpose is holy. It's set apart for something unique. It's set apart for something specific. When the Lord sanctifies us, He set us apart, distinct, different, for His own. For His own purpose, for His own glory, for His own use. The Lord required one day out of seven. One day out of seven to be devoted to Him. What does that mean? One day uniquely given to Him. Now, think about it. Yes, I know it's true that every day is the Lord's. But there was to be something unique about this one day. Again, because it is a sign. It is a picture. For us and for those around us. A day devoted to Him. It is to be a day of grace and of rest. A day of remembrance and reflection. It is to be a day of worship. He gives the rationale there in verses 16 and 17. This is what the Lord did. For 7 days he created, and then he rested on the seventh day. So it's in recognition of the work of God. It's in remembrance of what the Lord has done, and it's in imitation of him. So the Sabbath day is a unique day, a day set apart, unique to us, holy to us, important to us, as a day of devotion and solidarity. A day in which we devote ourselves to the Lord and we show our solidarity with the Lord. The Sabbath is an opportunity for building a relationship with God. And folks, that's central. That's at the heart. That's essential to a biblical understanding of salvation. It isn't about religion. It's about relationship. It's not about ritual. It's not about ceremony. It's about being in relationship with the true and the living God. And here's the thing about relationships. They take time. Relationships are built over time. Now, there are certain individuals that I can look back and say, you know what? We hit it off the first time we met. It's like we were instant friends. But there's no such thing as an instant relationship. Relationship can only be built over time. Now, here's the thing about those folks that I say, wow, I had a connection from the first time. Guess what that did? That made me want to spend time with them. And the more time I spent with him, the deeper the relationship. Okay, the Sabbath is about building relationship with God. It is God commanding his people to set aside time to work on relationship. Time to be devoted to him. God was saying to his people, I love you. You are mine. I take pleasure in you, and I'm calling on you. I am commanding you. I am demanding that you set aside time to be spent with me and to make that a priority. You've got to think of the Sabbath in those terms. It's not a matter that God said, well, how can I really mess with their mind? I know what I'll do. I'll make them give me a day. No, God is saying, I want to be in relationship with you. And therefore, I'm calling on you. I am demanding that you set apart time that is devoted to that purpose. It's about priority. It's about setting an agenda. I think this is key to answering and understanding the whole question about Sabbath. Remember when he gave the plans for the tabernacle? What was the purpose of that? Build me a sanctuary that I may dwell somewhere near my folks. Is that what he said? Build it so I can dwell in the midst. And as we go on in this story and we flesh it out more, guess what we find out? The tabernacle was to be dead center of the people of God and everyone surrounding it. Because he was to be at the heart of everything. So the tabernacle put God at the center of their lives. And now, with the command of the Sabbath, he puts himself at the center of their time. Because all their time is focused around, centered around. Everything pointed back to that time, that day. That one out of the seven that is devoted uniquely unto him. And that set the schedule for their lives. That set the rhyme and the rhythm of their life. This is how their life is to go. This is how their life is to flow. There's to be work and rest. There's to be labor and reflection. They're to spend time with the Lord. Because the Sabbath really does matter. That brings us to a second thing. Because the Sabbath matters, to casually dismiss the Sabbath is dangerous. How dangerous? Well, according to the text, really dangerous. Look at it. You shall keep the Sabbath because it is holy to you. Everyone who profanes it shall be put to death. Whoever works on it, that soul shall be cut off from among the people. Whoever does work on the Sabbath day shall be put to death. Everyone who profanes it dies. Whoever does any work on that day is to be cut off. Whoever does any work on that day is to be put to death. Seems a bit much. The word profane means to defile or to discredit. But the word can also mean to pierce or to break. In other words, someone who doesn't observe it. Someone who casts it aside. It's not a prohibition of any and all work because the work of worship continues. Acts of mercy are to be continued. So it's not just stop all work, but he's saying there is to be a rest from your six-day labor. The Lord is saying about this day, it's not a day for business as usual. And further, it's not a day to do as you please. It is a day that is to be holy unto the Lord, devoted unto the Lord, because it is a sign of relationship. Is he serious? I mean, really? Is this a case where God, in a loving, fatherly way, makes a stringent, strong demand and says, if you do this, you'll die, and then winked? No, he's not saying that at all. And I know that because of a little encounter that happens in Numbers chapter 15. In Numbers 15, there was a man gathering sticks on the Sabbath. And the Lord said, okay, take that guy, drag him outside the camp, and stone him to death. So I'm going to have to say, yeah, he really did mean it. Why? I mean, come on. Seriously, what great harm was there in a guy picking up sticks on a Saturday? What harm was there in that? Why would God demand such a harsh penalty? Seems over the top. Unless you take seriously what the whole purpose of the Sabbath was. What's its purpose? To remember that I, the Lord, sanctifies you. It's a day to remember and to reflect on the fact that it is I, the Lord, your God, who saves you. I, the Lord your God, bought you. I, the Lord your God, purchased you. Do you remember the words to Pharaoh? Let my people go so they're free to pursue their own heart and their own desire and to do what they want to do. Let them go so they can know the joy of freedom. No, the Lord said, let them go that they may serve and worship me. Let them go that they might be devoted uniquely unto me. The Sabbath is about building relationship. It's about spending time with God. It's about understanding and reflecting on the work of God and understanding the implications in my own life. If that is the case, then I want you to consider what not keeping the Sabbath says. By not keeping the Sabbath, I'm saying I'm not interested in knowing God. By not keeping the Sabbath, I'm saying my relationship with God isn't important to me. I'm saying when I don't keep Sabbath, you are not worth the time it takes to get to know you. Sheds a whole different light on it, doesn't it? But that's what that says. You don't matter enough. You aren't important enough. You're not deserving of a whole day in my life. It's a repudiation of the covenant. Such a person cuts themselves off from God. It's only right that they be cut off from the people of God. So, that comes down to the big question, doesn't it? Are we obligated to keep the Sabbath? Well, in answering that, I'm going to have to say, first of all, I'm convinced from the Scripture that Christ Himself is our Sabbath. Christ is our rest. That's made clear to me in Hebrews chapter 4. Christ is my Sabbath. Christ is my rest. And I will never know rest until I know Christ. I'm convinced that's the teaching of the Scripture. I also know from Colossians chapter 2, verses 16 and 17, and Romans chapter 14, that every day is the same. Romans 14 speaks of every day, and it's a matter of conscience. But we need to understand the value of Sabbath. We need to understand the value of faithfully gathering together to sing the praise of our God, to hear the Scripture read, to hear the Scripture proclaimed. We need to understand the value of the mutual support and encouragement that comes uniquely when we gather as the people of God. Can you worship God alone? Yeah. Can you worship God out in your boat on the lake on that beautiful day? And that's just the way I worship my God. Can you worship God there? Yeah, but you don't. Nothing, underline, exclamation point, nothing substitute for what it means when you gather like this with brothers and sisters in Christ and together sing the praise of God and experience the presence of God. Nothing. Whether it's virtual, online, or anywhere else, it won't replace what this does. It's why God commanded it. Not just in the Old Testament, but in the New Testament. Remember, the writer of Hebrews says, do not forsake the assembling of yourselves together. In fact, you better do it all the more as the day of the Lord draws near. Because you're going to need the life and encouragement that you get from your brothers and sisters in Christ when you are together. So, if the question is, are we obligated to keep the Sabbath? Do we have to keep the Sabbath? I'm going to say, no. We don't have to. We get to. Stop thinking of it in terms of an obligation and start seeing it for the privilege that it is. Stop thinking of the gathering together on the Sabbath and keeping a Sabbath and following the Sabbath as some chore and start seeing it as a great gift. Don't think of it as a burden, but begin to see it as a delight. Must we observe? Not legalistically and not begrudgingly. Now, I'll tell you, I know of a lot of churches who've gotten into a lot of nonsense over the whole question of Sabbath and what you can do and can't do and what's proper and what's improper on that day. It's more basic than that. Again, the question isn't, do I have to? But the fact that I get to. Let me ask you a question. What would you think of my relationship if I were talking to you and I would say, I need to ask you a question because I've been thinking about this and it's an issue that's really been on my mind and I'm not sure, I know how I think I feel, but I'm not sure, just want your input. What do you think? Do I have to spend time with my wife? What would that say about our relationship? Oh, do I have to spend time with my family? Do I have to spend time with my boyfriend? Do I have to spend time with my girlfriend? This isn't the way you looked at that. You know, some of you, you're going to think really hard. Remember way back when you were dating. And what it meant, just a phone call. And you did that stupid thing on the phone. You said, no, you hang up. No, I'm not going to hang. You hang up. It meant so much just to hear the voice. You didn't think that as, although I'm obligated. What a burden. So why is it we think of time devoted to God for the purpose of being in His presence something to dread? Oh, why do I have to do that? Instead of being excited about it, say, guess what I get to do today? I get together with others in the presence of God to sing His praise. I get to hear His word expounded, and His word is life. What a joy. What a privilege. So allow me to share some reasons for why you might want to rethink the way you look at and consider the Sabbath. First, you need to think of the Sabbath as a time for spiritual refreshment. It's not about what do I have to do, what do I avoid doing on that day. Think about the Sabbath in terms of spiritual refreshment. And the example is given to us in this passage. It's the example of God Himself. That He created for 6 days. On the seventh day He rested and He was refreshed. Now, we know this is language to just help us understand a principle. Because God wasn't worn out from all that creating. Because He doesn't tire. He doesn't need to sleep. He neither slumbers nor sleeps. He doesn't. It's a principle that He laid down for us. There was time to step back, to look at, to consider, and He was refreshed. The word literally means He caught His breath. And it's given to us in terms of the Sabbath. The Sabbath is an opportunity for you to catch your breath spiritually. In the midst of all the activity, in the midst of all the busyness, in the midst of all the stuff that goes on in life, it's a day to step back from all of that and catch your breath. Think about the Sabbath as spiritual refreshment. Think of it as a vacation for your soul. It's a weekly vacation for my soul. Put everything else aside and just be refreshed. A time to renew your spirit and refresh your soul. A second thing. Think of the Sabbath as an opportunity for physical rest. And don't underestimate the value of that. A weekly opportunity to savor the moment. A weekly opportunity just to step away from everything and remember there's more to life than work. Because we're all in too big a hurry. We've all got too much to do, and with all of our time-saving devices, it just made it worse. We've all got more than we can get done, and we've got places to be and things to do, and we're so rushed and so hurried. There is great wisdom, there is great advice in just taking a day where you step back from everything and say, put it on hold. Just for the day. To be refreshed physically. Stop working and rest in the peace of God. Stop producing and rest in God's provision. Stop accomplishing and rest in the identity you have in Christ. Stop worrying and rest in God's sovereignty. In other words, just stop. and rest. Third, start looking at the Sabbath as an opportunity for gospel witness. It does say something to your neighbors. It says something to your coworkers. It says something to your family that Sunday is holy to you and it's set apart for you to go to church. It's a public witness. It's a public testimony. And if you do it faithfully, if you do it regularly in the right spirit and the right attitude, you know what it says to your family and to your neighbors and to your coworkers? It says, nothing matters to me more than the worship and the praise of my God. What do you think it would mean if you started saying, this day's marked off? So when somebody asks you to go do something, you say, I can't do it that day. Why? That's the Lord's day. And that's the day I've set apart to be with my church family and to worship God and to give my thoughts to Him for that day. How about we do it this day? What does it say if you took that stand on a regular basis? I'm not saying legalistically. I'm not saying you've got to do it all the time. But I'm saying it's an opportunity for Christian witness. I'm saying it's a time for a refreshment of your soul. It's a time to refresh your body physically. And it's a time to testify to the grace of God and the goodness of God and your love for Him in your life. For these reasons and others, you need to rethink the Sabbath. And you need to understand that the Lord is honored when we observe His day. Yeah, you need to guard against a legalistic approach, but don't toss everything aside for the sake of Christian liberty. Our standing before God is not based on how we respond to the Sabbath and its observance. My standing before God is based in my faith and trust in Christ and in Christ alone. But my approach to the Sabbath is very revealing. It does reveal my priorities. It does reveal what matters to me. What if we all made it a practice to say, here's my calendar, and this day is marked off. So, like we do everything else, when somebody says, hey, can you do this? We pull out our calendar and we look to see if that day is available. What if we've already marked off the Lord's day and say, well, I'd love to do that, but because this is more important to me. Because this matters more to me. Because this is the way that I every week say to my God, you do matter to me more than anything else. And you are worth my time more than anything else is worthy of my time. And I give myself to you on this day. Let me just say, if you're looking for a list of what's acceptable and what's not acceptable, a list of do's and don'ts for the Sabbath, you're already heading down the wrong path. Bottom line, if you're looking for a loophole, you've already missed the point. Set aside the Lord's Day as a regular weekly act of devotion to God and to the things of God. Take a breath and take a break from the rest of your ordinary everyday life and give time to the worship of God, to prayer, to reflection, to spending time with family and friends and reflecting on the goodness and grace of God and His gifts to you. And here's the bottom line. I think you'll find He really is worth it. Let's pray together. Father, I thank You for the glory and the wonder of the gospel. I thank You for the glorious message that we were dead in trespass and sin until You breathed life into us. You've granted us life eternal and life abundant. And You have entered into relationship with us. And Lord, I pray that You would help us to start thinking differently about the whole question of Sabbath. Instead of it being an issue about whether I got to follow a law or not, or whether I'm obligated or bound, I start thinking in terms of it being a joyous privilege, a delight, to purposely, voluntarily set apart time to be spent with you. Time to have my soul refreshed and renewed. Time to rest physically. Lord, sometimes we need to recognize that we can be just as guilty in the church of making the day so busy it can't be a day of rest and reflection. Lord, grant us grace in all things, but in particular in this. Grant us to see the joy and the wonder of what it means to gather together as your people for worship. And understand what a precious gift you've given us as the church in worship. Open our eyes. And grant us courage to so order our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
You've been listening to the TBC Tulsa podcast, which features the preaching ministry of Pastor Rod Harris at Trinity Baptist Church in Tulsa, Oklahoma, located at the corner of 41st and Union. To learn more about the ministries at Trinity Baptist Church, visit us on the web at www.tbctulsa.org.